to you all. Thanks for coming. Now, today, I'm going to be talking about three things concerning the Holy Spirit. All right? Three things. They are all related, yet they are separate, but they are important. First of all, I'm going to be talking about the importance of the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to be dealing with Simeon, Moses, and the suffering servant. Then I'm going to be talking about the sharing of the Holy Spirit concerning Moses and the 72 elders and Christ and the believers. And the third thing I'm going to be talking about is the purpose of the Holy Spirit in Moses, in Simeon, and in the believers. Now, all the references that I'll be talking about are available. I've got a piece of paper for those that want to look at them and study them themselves afterwards. So they're there. Now, first of all, I'm going to be talking about the importance of the Holy Spirit. And this is concerning Simeon in the revelation of God's plans. Now, children heard the story. You heard the story. You heard it from the scriptures. And Jesus was presented in the temple as a seven-week-old baby, according to the law. And according to the law, they had to present him to the Lord, and they had to offer a sacrifice. And the sacrifice they offered were a pair of doves or two young pigeons. And the reason for that, they couldn't offer a lamb because they were poor. So Mary, Joseph, Jesus, they were poor people. But the amazing thing is that there was this man Simeon, and the Holy Spirit was on him, and he remained on him. And the Holy Spirit revealed to him that he would see the Lord's Messiah. In other words, he would see Jesus. And of course, Simeon had the task of watching, waiting, and pronouncing the arrival of the Messiah. You think of this. People say that he was an old man. He had waited all his life. And the Holy Spirit was constantly with him, saying, you know, you're going to watch, you're going to wait, and then you're going to pronounce. And then, miracle of miracles, he was moved by the Spirit to go to the temple the same time that Mary, Joseph, and the baby Jesus would be there in the temple to do the things that the law required. And he picked out the couple. And he picked out the baby. And we know that he said, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, now may you dismiss your servant in peace. And in his words there, he made three claims about Jesus. He says, for my eyes have seen your salvation. My eyes have seen the salvation. A seven-week-old baby. What power there was in the Holy Spirit to reveal this to this man. And also, which you've prepared in the sight of all nations. This is something wonderful. But also, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. Not only was it to the Jews, but it was to the Gentiles as well. And also, finally, in his words, he was speaking to Mary. And the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. Mary's anguish at the crucifixion to see her son humiliated and crucified, for she knew who he was. The importance of the Holy Spirit in the revelation of God's plans. Look at the power of the Holy Spirit, the revelation of God's plans. Also, the importance of the Holy Spirit concerning Moses and governing God's people. We need to go into Numbers 11, as I was saying. If you want the references, I've got them here later. But in the book of Numbers, chapter 11, Moses, it's very funny this, don't get this the wrong way round. Moses complains to God about the burden of responsibility placed on him, looking after thousands of people, the children of Israel. He even had the Holy Spirit on him. And he complains to the Lord most profusely because the people were wailing and complaining they hadn't got any meat. And he turns back to the Lord because he sees that the Lord had become exceedingly angry against the people's complaints. And Moses was troubled. And he asked the Lord and he said, "Why have you brought this trouble on your servant? What have I done to displease you that you put this burden of all these people on me? Did I conceive all these people? Did I give them birth? Why do you tell me to carry them in my arms as a nurse carries an infant to the land you promised on oath to our ancestors? Where can I get meat for all these people? They keep wailing to me, 'Give us meat to eat! I cannot carry all these people. The burden is too heavy for me.'" And God's answer? We'll see it later on in the sermon. But the thing I wanted to bring out, Moses had the Holy Spirit in the work that he was doing. Also, prophet was promised by God through Moses. And this is in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 18. "And your Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like unto me among you from your fellow Israelites. You will listen to him. A prophet like me from among you, from your fellow Israelites." And he states that the Lord said to him, Moses, "I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among your fellow Israelites. I will put my words in his mouth. I will tell them everything I command him. I myself will call to account anyone who does not listen to my words that the prophet speaks in my name." A prophecy of the coming Messiah. So what has this got to do with the Lord's servant? Well, the Lord in Isaiah, he promises the Holy Spirit on the servant from three servant passages, important ones. The first one is in Isaiah 11, and this is the root of Jesse. "A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse, from his roots a branch will bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding. The Spirit of counsel and might. The Spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord." A promise of the servant. Again, in Isaiah 42, he says, "Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my Spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations." And one of the famous passages in Isaiah 61, where it says this, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor, and he sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." The promise of the servant of God. So that is the importance of the Holy Spirit and his work. What about sharing the Holy Spirit. With Moses and the 72 elders. Remember I read out Moses' complaint. And you're saying, why have you put this burden on me? They're all wanting meat and I'm just fed up to the back of my teeth with them. And the Lord's response was, he said, bring me 70 of Israel's elders. They're here with you. Bring them to the tabernacle and I'll come down and I'll take some of the power that's on you, the Spirit, and I put it on them. And they will share the burden of the people with you so that you will not have to carry it alone. So the 72 were called and they came before the Lord. The Lord came down and he took some of the Spirit that was on Moses and put them on the 70 people. And the scripture says, when the Spirit rested on them, they prophesied, but they didn't do it again. But they had the Holy Spirit. But there was something else. I said 72, didn't I? Where's the other two? There were two others. There was Eldad and Medad. And don't tell me why, but they remained in the camp. They hadn't come to the tabernacle. But they started prophesying immediately in the camp. And a young man went and told Moses and he said, well, Eldad and Medad, they're prophesying in the camp. And Joshua, you know, a good old servant of Moses, said, Lord, Moses, my Lord, stop them. And what was Moses' answer? He said, are you jealous for my sake? I wish that all God's people were prophets and that the Lord had put his Spirit on them. Then Moses and the elders of Israel returned to the camp. The sharing of the Holy Spirit for assistance, to help. Also, I said, we're sharing the Holy Spirit with Christ and believers having the Holy Spirit. And this ties up with the passage I read from Isaiah 61. We all know it. I hope we do. In Luke 4, Jesus went to the synagogue, as he was his natural thing to do, and there was a scroll given to him, and it was turned to the book of Isaiah. And unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, the Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of the sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. He rolled it up. He gave it back to the attendants and he sat down. And every eye was on him. And he began by saying to them, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. The Lord Jesus had the Holy Spirit and he had been commissioned to do the work, to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free. What a promise! And the Holy Spirit is still the same today to do these things. But we find out later on that the Holy Spirit would be given to believers because Jesus will be glorified, having died and risen and seated at the right hand of God. Where is this? Where's this information? Well, I've said this one before, but John in his Gospel in chapter 7 gives the promise. Because on the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood in the midst in a loud voice saying, let anyone who thirsts come to me and drink. Whoever believes on me, as the scriptures have said, rivers of living water will flow out from within them. By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. the promise to whoever believes. Because, and it hadn't come yet because Jesus hadn't been glorified. What about the fulfillment of that? You've only got to go into the book of Acts, to chapter 2, and to Peter's sermon. And right at the end of his sermon, where there were 3,000 people, and they were absolutely struck by the message that he'd given, and they cried out, "What must we do to be saved?" And Peter's reply was, "Repent, be baptized, and every one of you in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are afar off, for all whom the Lord our God shall call." The Holy Spirit is being given. Why at this time? Because Jesus has been glorified. He had been taken up and seated at the right hand of the Father. He has completed his work. And the Holy Spirit was promised, and he was given. Now, what's the purpose of the Holy Spirit? Well, for Moses, to govern the children of Israel, to lead them, to teach them, to deal with the problems, to govern with help. If Moses needed the Holy Spirit and needed 72 helpers with the Holy Spirit to govern Israel, do you think we can do without the Holy Spirit in all that we do? We need the Holy Spirit. And for Simeon, what was the purpose there? Well, that was to lead him and to reveal to him that a 7-week-old baby like that, as you've seen before, 7-week-old baby, would be and grow to a man who would be crucified, who would die to bring salvation to the world. I wonder what the Lord wants to show us concerning his future, concerning things about himself, concerning things about people, things like that. We need the Holy Spirit to be led, that things can happen in this world. Now, purpose of the Holy Spirit, the main point is for believers to be like Jesus. For believers to be like Jesus. And the origin of this comes from the Father's divine creation in Christ. What was the Father's creation in Christ and his purpose? The Father's purpose was to produce a body, the church, that would express the Son's life. This was the Father's purpose. He wanted a church, a body of people that would express the life of Christ. Now this was shown through the creation of Adam and Eve. Yes, we're going back to Genesis. We're going back to Genesis 2. And we see Adam was created first, and then Eve was made from the bones of Adam, because the Father wanted a woman to help Adam. And he needed to bring Eve into existence. So God caused Adam to fall asleep. And as he was asleep, Eve was formed, and Adam woke again. And Adam and Eve were created pure, holy, innocent. This was before the fall. This was before the fall. And they were created to be the start of a people that would show the life in the Son of God. They would grow from the fruit of the tree of life. They would partake of the Holy Spirit, because the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit were all involved in the tree of life. It is the transference of Christ's life to them. However, we now know that mankind fell and required the Father to bring in salvation through the death and resurrection of his Son, the Lord Jesus. The Father's purpose of a body to show Christ's life hasn't faltered. He will bring it in again through another aspect of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, where can I find that? Well, Ephesians 5, 25 and 26. And I'm not going to preach about the first bit. It's the second bit I'm interested in. It says, husbands, love your wives. And he goes on and he says, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing of water through the word. Jesus loved the church and gave himself. It's an action in the past. Jesus loved the church and gave himself for it. This time, the death and resurrection doesn't relate to sin and the deliverance and the purification of sins. The death and resurrection, in this case, refers to the sleep of Adam and the reawakening of Adam from the forming of Eve, who represents the church. The story of Adam and Eve before the fall was to produce a people that will reflect the Son's glory. So, you got a line coming. I want people who will follow Christ and show him. But man fell. So there's a time loop going through, and it comes back again. Because Jesus is the last Adam and the second man. 1 Corinthians 15. Round about verse 47, if I remember rightly. The Adamic race has been put out of business through the death of Christ. And the second man is the one who is now living unto God in the resurrection life. From him the Father brings forth a body pure and holy without spot or wrinkle to show forth the Son's life. That's you and me. That's you and me. If we take Christ as our Lord and our Saviour, for as many as believed on Christ, to them he gave the power to be called the children of God, born purely by divine regeneration. We become born from above and filled with his Holy Spirit, because Jesus is now glorified and the Holy Spirit has been sent forth to those who believe. We are born of God. Christ has loved the church in the past. He knew the church was going to come from him. And God has completed the circle, and we are born of God. I'm a child of God. I am going to show forth the life of Christ because that is what God wants. Will you believe the words of Peter from Acts chapter 2? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. And you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and to all those that are far off who believe. For all whom the Lord our God will recall. Remember, Christ died for us. He loved us. And he wants us to come back to the Father. And he wants us to show forth his life. You need to believe that Christ died for you. He gave his life for you. And God loves you. And he wants you to come to him. And to feel the power of the Holy Spirit. Not only for governing, not only for seeing, but for doing things for the Lord. That is what he wants. Three things concerning the Holy Spirit. The importance of the Holy Spirit, the sharing of the Holy Spirit, and the purpose of the Holy Spirit. Amen.